I'd like us to bow in prayer. Now, Father, thank you for your great word. We thank you that your word is true, it's eternal, it has come from you. It is your great and amazing revelation of yourself, your purposes, and above everything, how we can be right with you, and once we're right with you, how we are to live here on earth. We thank you specifically for the book of Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 11, where we read about the importance of faith. And we know that faith is needed to be saved, but we also need faith as we walk each day. And we ask that you teach us this morning as we open this book and read it. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who will lead us. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, yeah, that's right. Every time you go to the Philippines and you say amen, it's a big clap. All right, that's their tradition. We clap to the Lord after saying amen. So good on you, Kevin. He remembered, I forgot. Okay, well, as you heard, while in the Philippines, one of the ministries that we did was to go to the jails that are attached to the police station. And in this jail, the one that we went to quite a few, but the one that really impacted us was a jail where there were 28 females in their small section and 172 men in another section. And their sections combined would have been no bigger than this stage. So that would be like the whole church, 200 people, all fitting on this stage. It was impossible for the men to be like that, so they actually had worked out some netting so that they could have three layers to sort of be there. And it's really hard. They don't get any food or water. So unless churches do that or friends or families come, they will starve to death. There is no water available in the cell, and it's a really horrible place, as you can imagine, deplorable. For me, it reminded me of seeing sheep squashed together in a cattle truck being taken to market. It was like that. It was really, really sickening. And yet we had the privilege of going and sharing the gospel of Jesus, as well as giving them food, something that the churches are. We were a part of a church that did that. So that at least they were getting some relief. But the thing that hit me the most was the fact that there were people there who were actually innocent. And because of police corruption, they had been put into that jail awaiting sentencing, and they probably will be acquitted, but they are in jail for maybe up to a year in this state. And as I thought about some of these people, maybe many of these people being innocent, it made me think of others who are innocent, who are in jails, in dungeons, in all sorts of camps in this world. And I'm thinking now of Christians. Are you aware of how in North Korea and China and now India, that there are people, there are Christians who are arrested and they are charged for things they haven't done and they are held in jails for an indeterminate time without any court hearing? And that's what's happening in our world today. They are innocent except for the crime they have committed. They love Jesus, but that's no crime at all. That's the best thing to do. And it got me thinking about those conditions that I saw, just reminding me of how there will be Christians in our world right now who are suffering even in a bit worse state than what we saw, all because they love Jesus. Does that touch your heart? We're meant to be concerned for each other. They are our brothers and sisters. And yet, this morning, in our Bible reading, did you pick up on some wonderful words in Hebrews chapter 11? I'll read verse 36 first of all, and then the beginning of verse 38. And it says there, in Hebrews 11 verse 36, "And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment." And then verse 38, "men of whom the world was not worthy." Did you hear what I just read? Men and women of whom the world is not worthy. Even though Christians can be treated so badly, you know what? This fallen world does not deserve them. For they are best people. They are wonderful people because they love God and love Jesus. But you know what? One day, they are worthy of something else though. They're worthy of walking the courts of heaven. They are worthy of being with the Father and the Lord Jesus forever and ever. And most of the people in this fallen world will not be worthy to enter the courts of heaven. And why is that? I hope you all know. Not because they haven't lived a good enough life. It's because they have not put their faith in God and in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that just helps us realise no matter what we go through in life, You know, there's something beautiful about having faith in Jesus, having faith in God. There is, as we're going to see today, there is great reward. There is great reward in terms of what's to come. Did you know, remember that in the first part of Hebrews chapter 11, the definition of faith. In Hebrews 11 verse 1 it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." What a great definition of faith. We can't see these things yet, but we know because of what Jesus has done for us, because of what the Father has promised through what His Son has done for us, we have a glorious hope. We have an amazing future. And faith's reward will one day be fully realized by us if we know and believe in Jesus. But then it also says in verse 2, "For by it the men of old gained approval." And verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." And I reckon that's referring to here and now, while we're on earth. Our faith is such an exciting thing to have because our faith opens the door for God's approval on us and God rewarding us even as we walk on this earth. Now we're not talking about the health, wealth and prosperity doctrine. We're talking about the blessings that God gives us, like peace and joy and contentment and purpose. These are the things that are faith reward if we have faith in God and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? This is what God has done. We have a huge and glorious hope one day, but we have the blessings as we walk by faith here on earth. And now we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, 30 to 40. We're going to see faith reward. The key thing being mentioned by the Hebrew writer is by faith. It's all about faith. So let's have a look at the first part, and that's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. And it says there, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. How did those walls fall down? By faith. By their faith in God. So you remember the story of the Israelites. We read about this in Joshua chapter 6. They had just crossed the flooded Jordan River, miraculously. They come into the land of Canaan for the first time, and the first thing they are struck with is this massive big city called Jericho. They cannot enjoy the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, until they take this city down. How are they going to do that? It's a walled city. Big walls all around it. And you look at this wonderful story and you hear how they have faith in God and they're listening to God. And what a battle plan. The battle plan was this. God says to them, "I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant, and I want to have the priests following behind the Ark of the Covenant, blowing trumpets, and the army is to march around the city. And you're to do that once for 6 days in a row." What sort of battle plan is that? Have you ever heard of a general doing anything like that? But Joshua was under the lead of the great King of Kings. And they did that for 6 days, and then on the 7th day they had to walk around the city, march around the city 7 times. And then the people, what did they have to do? Can you remember? A great shout. And as they shouted, the wall fell down. But what does the Hebrew writer remind us of? Why did the walls fall down? Was it the great shout? Was it the trumpet blast? Was it that constant marching around the city? Was it an earthquake? Was it a natural phenomenon? No! By faith, the wall fell down. As God saw their faith, He responded. There was the reward to them because they had faith in God. What a fantastic picture. And they came and they took that city and the land of Canaan opened up for them. You know, as I think of that, what a great picture of faith it is. Listening to God, believing in Him, obeying Him. But you know, I want to just apply this quickly to our own lives. We have strongholds of sin in our life, besetting sins. We have strongholds of behavioural patterns that are not godly. We have strongholds of things that hold us back from enjoying the fullness of the Christian life, do we not? And how do we get rid of these things? By faith. We need to have trust in God. We need to listen to Him that these strongholds in our life might be broken down, that we might march into and enjoy the fullness of the Christian life. This is what God would have us do. It's all about faith. The great rewards of faith. Those who walk by faith. And let me emphasize this. We might call ourselves a Christian. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We have saving faith. Saved by grace through faith. But for many Christians, we have little faith when it comes to walking day by day. And we've got to learn to pick up on that. We've got to learn to walk by faith and see the victories that come through faith. Amen. May God help us in our lives to have great victories. And now we have another wonderful story following on from part of the Jericho story. And we read about this in Joshua chapter 2. I'll read verse 31 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. What a remarkable story. We read about this woman called Rahab who's a prostitute. So, you know, she's an evil person. And yet, we read of how there were two spies sent by Joshua to spy out Jericho. And what did she do? She welcomed them. Why did she welcome them? Why did she help them? She never had ulterior motives. What her motive was that she was being changed in her heart. She had been hearing the stories about what God, the true God, had done in bringing Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness. And then how God brought the Israelites across the flooded Jordan River. And she had begun to change her allegiance. Instead of having faith in the gods that the Canaanites worshipped, she began to have belief in the God, the one and only God, the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. And that's why she welcomed the spies, and she also hid them from the king who wanted to kill them. She risked her life in order to preserve the life of those spies. By faith, she did that. By faith. And then, it tells us in that story in Joshua chapter 2, that she asked the spies for something very special. She knew that Jericho would be destroyed. She didn't know how it was going to be destroyed. And she asked for the spies that they would spare her and her family's life. Wow. And they said to her, you need to remain in your house. And you need to put a scarlet thread on your window, hanging down. And so she did that. By faith. By faith she did that. She got her family into her house and she had a scarlet thread on the window. And then, when the city was destroyed, guess what? Her house was spared. And what's so remarkable is, where was her house? On the wall! God allowed the whole wall to fall down except where Rahab lived. What an amazing deliverance! Talk about a picture of salvation. Destruction is occurring everywhere. But this lady, by faith, trusting God with a scarlet thread on her window, was spared destruction. You know, when I think of that story, what do you think of? Think of Jesus. There is going to be plenty of destruction when Jesus returns. He will judge the nations. But for all those who are in Him and who cling and trust to, what's the scarlet thread a representation of? The blood of Christ. Who trust in His blood, we shall be spared judgment. God passes over us. We are saved. Saved eternally. Saved in a far greater way than Rahab was. Wow, what a picture. And not only that, how cool to know that Rahab, she became a part of the Israelites, because the Israelites were meant to be welcoming of other people. And she met a man called Salmon. And they got married. And they had a child called Boaz. And Boaz is the great-grandfather of King David. And King David, from him came the line of Jesus. Which means Rahab became part of the line of Christ. That just makes me think too of the whole thing. If I put my faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, I become a son or a daughter of the living God. I become part of His family. Praise God. It's all by faith. Faith is the key. Okay, now we're going to look at 32 to 35 of Hebrews 11. Other great things to learn. Reading to you these words. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. I'll just pause it there. Wow! When I look at this section, I can't help but see, look at the deliverances, look at the victories that have come by faith. By faith in God. What incredible things people were able to accomplish because of their faith in God. And the Hebrew writer could have gone on for many, many chapters. He's just given us a little snippet of the Old Testament, probably from the book of Judges to the book of Daniel, in regard to men and women who have exercised faith in God and how God has rewarded them. Remember Hebrews 11:6? It says, and without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Right, and that's what they were doing. They were seeking God. And I look at that list of people. What do you think of them? Gideon. You know the story of Gideon? How many did he have on his side fighting the Midianites? He had 300. 300 men defeated the Midianites. A massive army. How could that be? By faith. They trusted God and God delivered. He delivered the people of Israel from the tyranny of the Midianites. And Barak, he was a bit of a chicken. Deborah had to encourage him. But anyway, he got some courage and he fought Sisera, who had chariots of iron chariots and all sorts of things. And yet Barak was given victory so that the Israelites were freed from the people who were attacking them. And Samson, oh, he blew it so many times. But on the last day of his life, by faith, trusting God, standing before the pillars, he pushed them and brought the whole temple and house down upon the Philistines and all their kings and all their important people. And God gave Samson a great victory by faith. It's all the time in the Bible, these things, by faith. And Jephthah, he defeated the Ammonites across the River Jordan who were opposing Israel. He's mentioned. And then there's all sorts of things mentioned. David's mentioned. I can't help but think of his victory over Goliath. What do you reckon? How did he do it? Could he was so smart? Could he just so accurate with the slingshot? No, by faith. By faith he trusted God and that stone went just in the perfect spot right there where the armour was and it took the giant down. By faith David had that victory. And then there's other things mentioned. I think of some of the great battles which I believe are being hinted here. Foreign armies to flight. I think of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is praying, Lord, we're just like a little flock of sheep and this mighty army is coming against us. We don't know what to do. Help us, Lord. And as he's praying with Isaiah the prophet, by faith, as they're praying, guess what God's doing? He struck down 185,000 of the mighty warriors of the kings of Assyria, and they're gone. By faith. And by faith, Jehoshaphat, here's a great one by faith. By faith, Jehoshaphat, he goes, Lord, I don't know what to do either. Our eyes are looking to you. God says, they trusted God, and by faith, they looked over the plateau, they were completely destroyed. God had taken them out by faith. You love the Old Testament? How many times do you read the Old Testament? Do you see the by faith thing? The Old Testament is written for these three purposes. That we might see the glory of God. That we might see the prophecies concerning Jesus. And that we might see great examples of faith. That we might live by faith. That we might live in this wonderful way. And also in Hebrews 11, time's going to run out pretty soon. I can't help but see other things mentioned here. Daniel's mentioned. Do you reckon that's what that 33 is about? The shutting of the mouths of lions. That happened. That happened with Daniel. Daniel believed in God. He trusted in God by faith. He was thrown down into that den and the lions could not harm him. And what about his mates? I reckon that's alluded to at the beginning of verse 34. Quench the power of fire. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, by faith, did not bow down to the statue and they were thrown into the fiery furnace and that fiery furnace did not hurt them. By faith. Wow. So what do you reckon? How can we apply this to our lives? Live by faith. Our victories, our deliverances, from whatever it might be, are accomplished by faith in God. Praise His name. We're saved by faith, but our victories in the Christian life, as we fight the sinful nature, as we fight against Satan, as we fight against this fallen world, they're the three enemies, you know that, don't you? What's the biggest enemy? Myself. My sinful nature. What's the next biggest enemy? The world. We always blame the devil for everything, but he actually is the third enemy. But we can have victory over these things by faith. I love the, in 1 John chapter 4, it talks about how faith overcomes the world. Faith is the thing that slays the sinful nature. We must walk by faith. All these pictures of the Old Testament are pictures for us as we live the Christian life now. So live by faith. Sounds all good, doesn't it? Until you come to 35b, Hebrews 11:35b. Then you read something different. Let's read that. And others were tortured. Well, hang on, what's going on here? And their release, hang on. And others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Suddenly the tone of Hebrews changes. I'm not reading about victories. I'm not reading about deliverances anymore. I'm reading about horrific suffering. And I'm sure the Hebrew writer is thinking about what happened to some of the prophets like Jeremiah. And some of the things that happened to them and Zechariah. I reckon he's also thinking about what was happening to Christians. And how they were being stoned and put to death and ill-treated badly. And you know, the world could see all this and go, what a joke faith is. Look at this. Faith in God. It's pointless. Faith in Jesus. Look at them. They're just being treated like nothing. Like the scum of the earth. But then I read verses 39 and 40. And it says, and all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. What's the Hebrew writer saying? Even if there's not deliverances and all sorts of amazing victories, even if your lot in life is to suffer for Christ, even if it's the worst thing, the Hebrew writer reminds us in verses 39 and 40, if you have faith in God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have the favour of God. That's what verse 39 says. And all these having gained approval. Approval with who? With God. They have got God's approval. They have got God's tick. They have God's blessing upon them, even in the midst of their suffering. Even if they're being sawn in two and stoned. For Christ, they have God's blessing. And not only have they got God's blessing, but verse 40 says, let me read again verse 39. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. And what the Hebrew writer is reminding us, even if we don't have victories from our enemies, we have the approval of God. And what else do we have? We have these glorious promises. We have an amazing future. We have such a better thing coming. I like that little phrase. For the Christian, this is the worst it gets here on earth. For the non-Christian, this is the best it ever gets. We have so much good coming to us. One day we'll walk the streets of gold. One day we'll be before the throne. This is, in the end, faith's greatest reward. If we're blessed here on earth with victories and escaping from enemies, that's great. But even if it's not, we still are on the victory side. Faith has great reward because of what God has promised to us in Christ. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1. And it says in verses 6 to 9, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith... Faith is mentioned. Being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Did you notice the Apostle Peter mentioning a little word quite a number of times in that passage? It is the word faith. Your faith is so precious. God is going to help your faith become more pure through trial. That faith is going to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That faith enables us to believe in Jesus though we do not see him yet. That faith will result one day in the outcome of eternal life. Wow! How good it is to have faith. What do you reckon? Faith is the best thing. Faith in a great God, a faithful God. Faith in our Lord Jesus who gave himself for us, rose again, and ever lives to intercede for his people and is one day coming back. Have faith in these things. Do not get discouraged. Remember how it all began. This section in Hebrews chapter 11 began with these challenging words in Hebrews 10, at the end of Hebrews 10, starting at verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the preserving of the soul. And then we launch into Hebrews 11, all these wonderful examples of faith. I want to encourage you this morning to have a growing faith, to have a faith in God the Father, a wonderful Father, to have a faith, a strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what God might dish out to you, there's all sorts. Some people have a pretty easy life, others don't. We need to trust God. And remember faith's reward. God's blessing is upon you even here on earth, but one day the reward is beyond compare. Amen, isn't it? And we need to remember that we not give up, but we press on. Have faith. And we're going to close now by singing together that lovely song, Have Faith in God. Let your hope rest on the faith he has placed in your heart. Have faith in God. Look at all the wonderful examples that we have in the scriptures. And Jesus himself says, I want to finish with these words. I love these words of Jesus. The very night that he's about to be arrested and sentenced to death and to die for us, he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Let's pray. Now, Father, it's easy to speak about faith in a service like this as we look at your word. And yet when we get into the week, it's so easy for us to not live by faith. And you know how we get so distracted and we end up walking by sight instead of by faith. And we don't have victories, we don't have your peace in our life. And we pray that you'd help us to be people of faith. That we would get to know you better and better, to be filled with love for you, to appreciate how faithful and good you are, that we would trust you, that we'd look to you, we'd pray to you often, and we'd be constantly trusting in Jesus. And Lord, we would know your blessing upon our life. And no matter what you have given us, we know that one day we shall be around your throne. And what a joy it's going to be for all eternity, to be there in a place of perfect bliss and complete love, to be made perfect, and to have this incredible hope we have helps us even here on earth. Lord, help us not to fall away, not to give up. Help us to remember what Jesus has accomplished for us. Help us all to be growing in faith. Help us to care for one another. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for you being with us. Thank you for your encouraging words from the book of Hebrews. We can't help but say thank you. And Lord, what a great God you are. Thank you that even in our faith, listeners, you're a faithful God. Thank you that you never let go of us. Thank you that you love us beyond compare. What an amazing God you are, Lord. It is our joy to say thank you to you. And we give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.